2 Timothy chapter 3. I just cannot get away from this thought here, still around the New Year date. And the Lord is just leading me to preach on this thought tonight, just since the year is brand new. And we're continuing with our thoughts from Sunday, so to speak. Preacher Lashley's message on not being sidetracked. I have added his outline to my prayer list. And I'm asking the Lord in my prayer time, Lord, help me not get sidetracked this year by people and circumstances and worldliness and all these other kind of things. Makes a great prayer list, and I appreciate that message. Still thinking about the new year and just focusing on it and things to be doing. I'm excited that on the last Sunday night of this month, on Sunday night, January the 28th, we're having our annual vision night, the pastor's vision for the church, so to speak. And the Lord's been working on my heart this year in a great way, and I give him the praise for it. And excited to share these things with you on Sunday night, January the 28th, as we plow towards this new year. But tonight it's a simple thought, just a simple thought here that I cannot get away from. And I know this is the Lord's will for this particular service tonight. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Folks, we're living that, okay? No doubt about it. But notice verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now this is Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, speaking to this young pastor by the name of Timothy. And he tells him in verse 13, he says, the evil men are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. But Timothy, you continue. You keep going. Now I want to speak to you tonight on this one word, continue. This word, just continue. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us as we think about this thought for these opening days of 2018? Would you help us to be faithful to the things of God, putting you first? Pray that you speak to our hearts. Challenge us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most tragic events during the Reagan presidency was the Sunday morning terrorist bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, in which hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept. The man that tells the story here said that Marine Corps Commandant Paul the 10th Kelly, that was his name, visited some of the wounded survivors that were then in Frankfurt, Germany hospital. Among the survivors was a corporal. His name was Jeffrey Lee Nashton. He was severely wounded in this particular incident. Nashton, the wounded, had so many tubes running in and out of his body, I'm reading here, that a witness said that he looked more like a machine than a man, yet he survived. As Kelly, the commandant, neared Nashton, who was this man that survived, but he had all these things coming in and out of him, struggling to move, racked with pain, this survivor, Nashton, motioned for a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote a brief note and passed it back to the commandant. On the slip of paper were the two words that were the Latin motto of the Marines, meaning forever faithful. And you know, with those two simple words, Nashton spoke for the millions of Americans who have sacrificed body and limb and their lives for their country, those who have remained faithful to the calling that God gave them in their life. You know, I open this thought with that story because in this chapter, we see the old veteran soldier of the cross by the name of Paul speaking to a young soldier of the cross by the name of Timothy. And Paul brings out in verses 1 through 9, I didn't read it, but in verses 1 through 9, he brings out how men are going to be lovers of themselves. Then in verses 10 through 12, we see him sharing a testimony of his own personal life. Then we see him making a type of a summary statement in verses 13 and 14, the verses that I read for you tonight. And notice in these verses how he said the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. But Timothy, you continue in the things which thou hast learned. You know, the interesting thing is God has made this life in such a way
that as the world gets worse and worse, you and I can keep on going for God. You know, it's interesting tonight that if the world goes off, I don't have to. If the world gets worse, I don't have to. God's made the Christian life that we as individuals can continue in the things that God has given us to do. Now, I want to challenge you in the opening days of this new year just to continue. To find the things God wants you to do and just be faithful. You know, it's interesting, and tonight I'm just going to do a simple Bible study with you on that word continue. And I'm going to bring four things out tonight that the Word of God tells us that we ought to continue in these things. But before I get to these four simple thoughts tonight, they're so simple I'm almost embarrassed. I'm not, but I'm almost am. They're simple, but before I get to these four thoughts that we ought to continue in this year, not just this year, but every day, and not just every day, but every year until Jesus comes, may I remind you of what Tom Farrell told me many years ago when he was holding a revival here, and he turned around like only he can do, and if I remember right, he pointed at me like only Tom Farrell can do, and he said, "Son, just be faithful." You know what's encouraging to me? I don't have to be like you. You don't have to be like me. We're not competing. We're not challenging each other. No. We are simply made in the image of God to follow God for ourselves. And may I say this to you, God has a will for me. God also has a will for you. And God has a will for all of us combined. And all I'm saying to you is that one thing that everybody can be, not everybody can preach, not everybody can sing, not everybody can teach, not everybody can play an instrument, but something everybody can do is continue. Everybody can do that. Everybody can just be faithful. Now, these are four simple thoughts on this word, continue. What is it that God wants us to continue doing this year? By the way, this word continue is a great word. It means to stay further. Stay there a little longer. That's what it means. It means to remain. It means to adhere to, like glue. Just stick to it and don't be pulled away from it. It means to persevere in. This is all in this word. It means to abide. It means to cleave unto it. It means to dwell there, endure there, be present there, tarry there, stay constantly there, constantly diligent there. That's all in that word. That's what that word means. In other words, it's a word that simply says there are some things that you should never stop doing. You ought to just stick to it like glue. You know what encourages a pastor's heart? Faithful people. I'm talking about people that every time the door's open, they're there. I mean, every time something's going on, they're there. Isn't it a blessing just to be around people that you know they're just rock solid, that they have driven a stake a mile deep, they're not moving, they're not changing. People like that are like a breath of fresh air. They really are. Let me give you some things tonight, just a Bible study here. You don't need to turn to these passages because you're probably not going to be able to keep up with me, okay? Four things to continue in straight from the Word of God. Number one, we are to continue in God's Word. The Bible says in John 8:31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue," there it is, "if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." You know, one of the things that God wants his children to continue in is the word of God. Folks, there should never be a day that you don't spend some time in God's word. May I say this to you? No doubt, one of the great reasons, one of them, not the only one, but one of the great reasons why this church is a great church. I'm talking about making a difference, a lighthouse, not just here in the Tri-Cities, but shining around the world. There's no question in my mind is because the members here, those who call this church your church home, no doubt many of you, hopefully all of you, are spending time every day in the Word of God. That should never change. We ought to constantly be reading the Bible. The Bible says in Revelation 1:3, "Blessed is he that readeth the Word of God." Don't ever stop reading the Bible. May I say this to you? There's a reason it's hard to find time to read it. There's a reason that you're tempted to stop reading it when you get too busy. There's a reason when trouble hits that the thought may go across your mind, what good is this doing me? I'm telling you, the devil knows how powerful this book is that I hold in my hands. And he's going to do everything he can to get God's people away from the Word of God. Don't ever let it happen. Continue in the Bible. You ought to continue reading it. We ought to continue memorizing it. I'm convicted there. But Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We ought to continue meditating on it. Psalm 1:2, in his law doth he meditate day and night. We ought to continue obeying the word of God. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. See, God wants us to know what the Word of God says. He wants us to dwell on it. He wants us to meditate on it. He wants us to mull it over in our minds. And He wants it to change our life so where we live by what the Word of God tells us to do. I cannot urge this church enough for your life personally, for your marriage, for your children. I'm begging this church, me included, just to continue in the Word of God. There's no question that's the will of God. No question. There's no question about it. So make sure that you are continuing in the Bible. Number two, continue in prayer. This is simple. I told you it's simple tonight. I'm just a simple preacher. And these are simple thoughts. Let's be honest. Where does the Christian life get in trouble? Where does it begin? It begins with that book and with prayer. You show me somebody who is majorly struggling. I'm not talking about struggling physically. I'm talking about struggling spiritually. You show me somebody who's turned their back on God, living like the devil, I guarantee you their prayer life and their Bible reading life is suffering. Mark it down, friends. Mark it down. You know, what's interesting, Scott Pauley, he's a friend of our ministry here. I'm excited. We've got him scheduled for revival. Not this year. Couldn't get him. Anyway, I can't remember. 2019, 2020, something like that. He was a former youth pastor down at Temple Baptist Church where Dr. Clarence Sexton is the pastor. He was also one of my college professors, and he's a year older than I am. Amazing man of God. Just tremendous wisdom. He told us one time, I believe this was in a classroom setting. This is when he was still youth pastoring, my memory serving me correct. And he said, it doesn't matter what somebody comes to me, if they're having some kind of a problem, he said, I will ask them, are you reading the Bible every day? Talking to Christians now, okay, to God's children. Are you reading the Bible every day? And if they say no, he says, sorry, I can't help you. When I heard that, it sounded a little bit rough to me. I didn't understand that. But the longer I have lived in the ministry, he's exactly right. He's exactly right. What I'm saying to us tonight is that we've got to spend time in the Word of God. If we're not, we are leaving the door open for the devil to get inside of our lives. Then, secondly, continue in prayer. The Bible says, continue in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. God wants His children to continue talking to Him. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says it this way. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What he's teaching here in this story is he's saying, here's a widow. She goes to a judge's house. He doesn't like God. He doesn't even think about God. And she knocks on his door begging for help. He says, go away, go away. But she just keeps on knocking. Refuses to go away. To the point that he gets up and says, now, I don't fear God, I don't regard man, but this woman's going to kill me. She refuses to stop asking. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to get up and give her what she wants to get her off my case. Then the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge said. He's unjust. He doesn't love her. But yet because she refused to stop coming, he gave her what she asked for. And he said, shall not God take care of his own elect that cried day and night unto him? What is he teaching us? He's teaching us that he wants us to continually come like that widow. And if that widow continually came to an unjust judge, how much more should we be willing to continually go to the judge of the universe who loves us so much he died for us? We ought to continue in prayer. Now, folks, I don't know of a man on planet Earth who feels worthy to preach on prayer. I'm not. And if somebody, any preacher that says, I'll preach on it, I'm worthy, then listen to me, I don't want to hear him. Amen. I don't want to hear him. Anybody think you pray enough? Anybody here that can't pray more than we do? I'm guilty. I'm convicted. I'm simply telling us God wants us to pray. Isn't it interesting? Should it not be us begging God to let us pray? And yet it's God begging us to pray. Something not right with that. What a privilege it is to talk to God. What a privilege. What would we do if we couldn't pray? Now think about that. What if God said, huh? Don't want to hear anything from you. God wants us to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you're on your knees 24 hours a day, but it does mean that we're constantly in the attitude of prayer, that we're praying throughout the day. By the way, you don't need to be walking in Walmart and saying, oh God, hear my prayer. Don't draw attention to yourself. But you can be walking through you can be walking through Walmart and just under your breath say, oh God, would you help me here? Just lay your burdens out to the Lord. Talk to God. This is one thing that God wants us to continue in. He wants us to continue in the Word of God. He wants us to continue in prayer. In one of the regions of Africa, this many years ago, the first converts to Christianity were very diligent about their prayer life. In fact, the believers each had their own special place outside of the village where they went to pray in solitude, just by themselves. The villagers would reach these, what they called prayer rooms, just out in the jungle, so to speak, by using their own private footpaths through the brush. That was their footpath to their prayer room. And everybody knew whose path it was. But when the grass began to grow over one of the trails, it was evident that the person to whom it belonged to was not praying very much. Because those who were praying the way that they should, they were constantly using their path and the grass wouldn't grow on it. But if grass ever started growing over it, then it told on that person's not praying. And you know, the others, Christians, would get so concerned about their brother or sister in Christ and their spiritual welfare that they would say something along this line, and I quote, friend, there's grass on your path. There's grass on your path. That's called accountability. By the way, it's good. This is one thing the Lord's been working on my heart about. One of the vision points up here, a home for you. You know, it's good for a church to have outreach. No question about it. A church that has no outreach has nobody to inreach to. Amen. But may I say this to you? God also wants his church to have a good inreach ministry. I'm talking about helping each other. Caring about each other, loving on each other, taking care of one another's needs, bearing one another's burdens. I mean, I say this to you, there's nothing wrong with a Christian checking on another Christian's prayer life. Nothing wrong with that. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to a prayer path, spiritually speaking, is there grass on yours? Because you're just not going as often as you should. Now, folks, I am not preaching if the Word of God has priority and prayer has priority, your life's going to be a bed of roses and never going to be anything wrong. Come on, friends. I'm not preaching that. But I know this, if the Word of God has priority and prayer has priority, God is blessing your life. Amen. And I'm telling you that we invite the devil's attack when we do not have the Word of God and prayer in, as things that we are continuing in day after day after day. Continue in the Word of God. Continue in prayer. Number three, continue in witnessing. Soul winning. The Bible says in Acts 26, 22 and 23, here's what it says. Having therefore obtained help of God, this is Paul speaking, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This is one of Paul's personal testimonies, and he said, I just continue unto this day witnessing. Let me tell you what Paul spent his time doing, telling others about Jesus. He just kept on going. He even said, I continue unto this day just witnessing to both small and great. It made no difference who it was. He was just going to witness to them. God admonishes his children to continue telling the gospel to this lost and dying world. Acts 5:42 says, and daily, in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, how faithful are you and me in telling the good news of Jesus Christ to others? You know, a survey was taken many years ago, and those who were surveyed, now I wasn't surveyed, you were more than likely not surveyed, but this particular survey and those that were surveyed, around 98% of the Christians surveyed did not regularly introduce people to Jesus Christ. In other words, maybe going to church, maybe reading their Bible, maybe praying, but never sharing their faith, never telling others about Christ, never giving a gospel tract, never inviting others to church, never trying to reach their friend. Just they're saved, but they're silent. And we wonder why America's in the shape that it is. Amen, friends. I'm telling you tonight, America's in the shape it is not because of Washington or anything else. No, the reason America's in the shape it is because we have Christians who are silent about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may tell you what changes everything? The gospel. That's what changes it. You may tell you what our world needs? The gospel. You may tell you what America needs? The gospel. You may tell you what your neighborhood needs? The gospel. The gospel changes people. And we need to be continuing in witnessing to others around the world. I wonder, what are we doing to keep people out of hell? I've committed myself. Have I missed days? Yes, I've missed days. But I have committed myself to continue witnessing to this lost and dying world. When I made a commitment to God as a Bible college student, I don't know if I was 19, 20, or 21. I don't know what age I was, but I made a commitment to God that I was going to give the gospel every day of my life. Whether it be giving a gospel tract, preaching a sermon, knocking on a door, Now, I have missed days. To my shame, I've missed days. I'm still standing here. God didn't strike me down. But I can't tell you how often God brings that promise back to my mind. May I give you something that it shouldn't shock you, but it might? I'm not always happy to give the gospel. I'm not always jumping out of bed saying, glory to God, I get to witness today. I'm a human being just like you are, friends. Hey, it's hard sometimes to pull the gospel track out when your attitude's not right. It's hard sometimes to walk up to somebody right there on that park bench and God says, give them the gospel, and you just start reasoning, I don't really think he needs it, God. Out of fear. Listen, friends, nobody has an excuse with me. Nobody does. Somebody says, I just don't know how to do it. I just don't think I can. I'm scared to death. Join the crowd. Let me tell you why we do it. To obey God. God left us here for this. Now, folks, we need to see this. May I challenge you with something before we get to vision night? God willing, I'll challenge this again then. Let me challenge you with something. Would you make it a matter of prayer? God, help me win one this year. Just one. Just one. Can I give you a shocking stat? And it's not about numbers. Our motive should never be numbers. Our motive should be obedience to Christ and likeness to Jesus Christ. But I will say this, if each one reach ones, we double in size. Wow, isn't that smart of your pastor? May I say this to you? God will have somebody in the pathway of every one of His children that He wants them to witness to this year. And it won't just happen once, it'll happen multiple times. Let's just be honest. We just don't do it. I challenge you, whenever you go out the next time to the grocery store, in your neighborhood, your relatives, there's just so many different ways that you can witness. All we've got to do is stop and look around. People are everywhere. And God will place His salt and His light in strategic places. And He wants them to continue witnessing there. God's burdened my heart more about this. I want to train you more, to do more with you. I put it in the schedule. A couple of soul winning seminars coming up to where I'm trying to sharpen your tool a little bit. But folks, listen to me. You don't need a seminar to be a soul winner. Let me tell you what you have that nobody else has. Your story. Your testimony. And God can use your testimony to win a lost and dying world to Jesus Christ. Continue in prayer. I want to read you a couple of verses here. You don't need to turn to this, but listen to this. In Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, here's what it says. It says in Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" May I paraphrase what those verses are saying? Here's some people over here, they're sitting on death row, okay? That's basically what this means. They're reserved unto death, they're drawn unto death, they're ready to be slain, they are headed for the slaughter. And verse number 12 says, "If you forbear to deliver them." In other words, you know they're going that direction. If something doesn't change, they will die. And he's saying, if you sit back and say, "I didn't know anything about it." He said, "Does he that pondereth the heart, does he not know the truth?" See, folks, it would do well for all of us. And I'm right there in the middle of it. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching at you. God's telling me right now, son, easy to preach it. You need to do a better job yourself. I say amen. I'm guilty here. Folks, I'm telling you, we say with our mouth, there's a literal burning hell. But we only prove it by our actions. Can I put it this way? There's no way we really believe in a literal burning hell and not tell others about Jesus Christ. How can somebody say, "I believe that people without Christ are going to burn in hell, be cast into the lake of fire where the devil's going to be cast forever and ever and ever and ever," and never tell anybody about Jesus and how they can escape that? I never want to be a preacher that sugarcoats things. There are too many sugarcoating preachers around the world. I don't want to be one of those. And I'm telling you, I'm convicted. How many people this week have I walked over? We probably all could say the same thing. We ought to continue in prayer. And then finally tonight, I know what you're saying. Hurry, get off that. That's hurting my feet tonight, right? I hope it hurts our heart. Forget the feet. What about the heart? Let the heart change us. We need this. Then number four, we ought to, number one, continue in the Word of God. Number two, continue in prayer. Number three, continue in witnessing. This is all Bible things where the Bible says continue this, continue that, continue. Then number four, we ought to continue in love. In love. In God's Word, we see several times love is brought up. However, for God's children, there are two specific areas that I want to talk about here. Number one, letter A under this, we ought to continue loving one another, loving the brethren. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. There's the word. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. 1 John 4:21 says this, and this commandment have we from him. In other words, this is the commandment we have from God, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's the word of God. You know, God desires and he demands for his children to love one another. And I believe we have great unity here. I really do. But in a church this size, there's no doubt that the devil's trying to work among Christian brothers and sisters with things that can get you bitter at one another, can get you upset with somebody, just trying to divide the family. You know, one of the saddest things, in my opinion, on planet Earth is a family that's divided. A family that there's just some family members, they don't talk to each other anymore. There are some folks who have family reunions, maybe even around Christmas time this year, somebody wasn't there. Either because somebody didn't invite them because they didn't want them there, or you did invite them because you know you should, but nobody expected them to come because there's just some schism in the body, in the family. And somebody in the family is too proud to say, I'm sorry. Somebody's too proud to go to somebody and say, listen, we're family. Let's get this out in the open. Let's forgive one another and go on. Life is too short. You know, you shouldn't wait until somebody's dead and feel bad about it at that time. It is never God's will for there to be division among families, and especially when it comes to the family of God. It is never God's will. You say, you don't understand what they did to me. Okay, maybe you can't be with them. I get that. But you should not let it rule your life to where all it is bitterness and anger. No, God says let brotherly love continue. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. He's commanding this to happen. We ought to continue in love for one another. And then I thought this was a fitting way to end this message. As we're going into 2018, we ought to continue loving the Lord. The Bible teaches in John 15, again, you don't need to turn to it, I'll turn to it, chapter 15, verse 9. It says, as the Father hath loved me, this is Jesus speaking, he said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know what the Lord is seemingly saying here when he says, continue ye in my love, and if you keep my commandments, you are continuing in my love. Seemingly what he's talking about here is he's saying, listen, as the Father loves me, I love you. Now listen to me, you love me. And if you really love me, you're going to do my commandments. You know, we see this in the context here. John 14, 15 even says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what we need Christians? What kind of Christians we need today? Young, old? Makes no difference. We need Christians today who just love God and just keep on loving him. I mean, just continue loving God. And prove it by doing his commandments. 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." Let me ask you a question. Do you love God? Easy to say yes to that. Do you love Jesus? All of us, I think, tonight would say, yes, I love him. I love him. Question, is there anything in this book that he's told you to do that you're not doing? I'm not asking, are you perfect? Nobody's perfect. But there ought to be a desire to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect, but you ought to be as close as you can be. So should I. The Lord says this, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Isn't that the same way with parents with children? Isn't it the same way, really, with husband and wife? What I mean by this is actions speak louder than words. You know, it's easy to say, I love Jesus. Prove it. He tells you to witness somebody. Then go do it. He tells you to read his word. Go do it. He tells you to pray. Go do it. Tells you to love one another. Go do it. Tells you to let go of bitterness. Go do it. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Continue. As I'm starting to come down for a close, the time was the 19th of May, 1780. The place was Hartford, Connecticut. The day has gone down in New England history as a terrible foretaste of Judgment Day. Because at noon on that particular day in the 1700s, the skies turned from blue to gray and by mid-afternoon had blackened over so densely that in that religious age, it was a religious age, men fell on their knees and begged for a final blessing before the end came. In other words, they thought the end is coming. That's how bad of a day it was. The Connecticut House of Representatives was in session. And as some men fell down and others clamored for an immediate adjournment, the Speaker of the House, he was Colonel Davenport, came to his feet. He silenced them and he said these words, and I quote, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, that candles may be brought." You know, that's a simple story. But let it resonate in our hearts. God has a duty for us to do. Part of it I've spelled out for you tonight. Continue in the Word of God. Continue in prayer. Continue in witnessing. Continue in love, loving one another and loving the Lord. May I say this to you, Judgment Day is coming. And no man knows when it's going to be here. May we just be like this man and says, it's coming, or it's not. In our case, we know it's coming. And let us just be found doing our duty. Folks, listen to me. I'm encouraged tonight that I don't have to try to live up to somebody else. God has made me me. Let me tell you something, that's enough for him. Because he made me this way. And I'm so glad when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, he's not going to compare me to the Apostle Paul. He's not going to compare me to some other preacher. He's not going to compare me to that. And say, you know what, I'm going to give this award to him because I liked his style better than yours, Jody. Aren't you glad God's not like that? I mean, God is going to judge us for our own life, and he's going to judge us for what we did with what he gave. That's it. And every person, let this encourage you tonight. Every person can receive every award from Jesus Christ. Every person. If we just continue doing what he wants us to do. So I'm challenging this year. I'm challenging all of us this year. Let's be known as a Christian and a church. That I'll tell you one thing about those people out at Buffalo Ridge. They're not going to stop. They're not going to quit. They're just going to keep on going until Jesus comes. Amen tonight? Let's continue in these four things and ask God to bless it. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for this service. And as we think of these simple thoughts tonight, help us, Lord, to be challenged. Help us to be challenged. Just to continue to be faithful in these four great, great things. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity to trust Christ, because I do not know your heart. And I realize that the Holy Spirit of God may be speaking to somebody's heart that I have thought was saved many years ago even. But God has spoken to you tonight and says, you know, you need to be saved. You need to trust Christ. I want to always give folks the opportunity to respond to the gospel. So if you're here tonight but you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you. In just a moment when we extend the invitation, come, let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Or maybe tonight God's spoken to your heart, you're a child of God and you know it. Thank God for it. Amen. But the Lord has challenged you, comforted you, encouraged you, maybe even convicted you like He did to me really tonight. How's your continuing in the Bible going? How's your continuing in prayer going? How's your continuing in witnessing going? Excuse me. How's your continuing in love going? Loving one another and loving the Lord. By the way, if we love the Lord the way we should, we'll love each other the way we should. He's our motive. That's it. Have you tonight say, Jody, God spoke to me tonight. It may be He encouraged you. It may be He convicted you. It may be He challenged you. It may be He comforted you. But tonight God spoke to you, and you really believe it was God using His word speaking to you tonight. He has spoken to you tonight, and you want to say, yes, I believe God spoke to me tonight. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You believe God spoke to you? Amen. 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 Then let's continue. Let's just keep going. Everybody can do that. By the grace of God. I'm going to have her just to begin to play. And if God has spoken to you and you want to come pray, the altar's open. Just want to ask you to get out of your seat and come. Or if you want to make an altar out of your pew there, or maybe you just want to pray. You're sitting at your pew, that's fine. You want to pray right now. Thank God for talking to you, for speaking to you tonight. Ask God to help you to be a continuing Christian. A Christian that just keeps going.
All right, thank you.